This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
The modern medical establishment really has been disconnected. We've been so busy focusing on treatment, on billing and coding in a high throughput model. We've got to stop and ask ourselves, should we be focusing more on school lunch programs, not just putting every kid on Ozempic? We've got to talk about food as medicine and gut health and the microbiome. We've got to talk about environmental toxins that cause cancer, not just the chemo to treat it.
There's Dr. McCary talking about the focus that this administration has and has been charged with truly by the voters to pay attention to making America healthy again. A lot of us have heard MAHA, and it's a very interesting meeting of the minds. And I truly think one of the main reasons why Donald Trump was able to win with the magnitude of support that he was, because the MAHA movement became part of the MAGA movement. And we're seeing the Trump administration actually deliver on some of these things that they promised that they would address just 4 months into the presidency so far. And there's a lot of news to discuss and to comb through. Last week, we had the report that came out that we saw from Secretary Kennedy, and we wanted to give the White House an opportunity to talk about the progress that they're making and ask them a few of those questions. Let's welcome Kush Desai onto the Annie Fry Show, Deputy White House Press Secretary. Kush, thank you for being here with us today. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. You know, give us your thoughts so far on how is the White House feeling about their follow through on their commitment to making America healthy again?
We feel great about it. Look, I mean, the MAHA Commission report that came out last week was the first intergovernmental assessment, really, of the evidence that we have, the scientific research and the facts that we have about what's driving our chronic disease epidemic among our nation's children. And so this was the first time the government comprehensively reviewed and assessed what we know and what we don't know about what's driving this crisis. And so this is a major milestone and a major first step for us to start kind of informing our policymaking to be guided not by corporate interest or ideological activism, but by the gold standard of science.
You know, I think that of all of the things that Donald Trump's administration came in saying that they were going to address, there's such a unique and interesting amount of support for the MAHA movement because it kind of transcends typical partisan divides among American voters. Secretary Robert Kennedy has led this movement. He's not a Republican dyed in the wool. He's a Kennedy, for heaven's sake. And he has identified coming into this administration that he sat down with President Trump and they saw an opportunity to make progress and those politics could get set aside on other places that they disagree. Has that relationship continued to grow up until this point in the administration and their ability to help each other see success?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I think President Trump has, you know, for the better part of a decade now, talked about making America great again. And that really is a very holistic vision. It's not just about bringing jobs back and manufacturing back, but it's about, you know, making America healthy again. That's a key pillar of his movement here. And so, yes, I mean, Secretary Kennedy is a critical member of this administration. He's a great ally and trusted partner of the president. And you kind of saw that with the follow through on this MAHA report. And you'll see that in the follow through with in about 80 days or so when the commission submits their policy recommendations based on that report to the president. So this is a major initiative, major priority for the entire administration, not just the White House or HHS.
Fox News has a report right now, and it says that the COVID-19 vaccine is no longer recommended for healthy children or pregnant women. According to new guidance from health officials, Secretary Kennedy shared a video today or on X announcing that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has removed the vaccines from the CDC's recommended immunization schedule for those groups. Kush Desai is joining us right now, the Deputy White House Press Secretary. Kush, when there was a time on this show where if we talked about, if we even said the word COVID vaccine, we got you know, strikes on YouTube. We couldn't even discuss it. We weren't even permitted to have a conversation about whether or not we felt it was safe. And now we see the cabinet's reaction to this vaccine, and it is suggesting that maybe it isn't safe for some people. How far have we come, A, on our ability to talk about this, and B, you know, actually truly questioning the COVID-19 vaccine and its efficacy for Americans who might need to take it?
Absolutely. Look, the Mayo Commission report actually talked about how there's been a decline in sort of academic and scientific freedom in this country to kind of ask the questions that we're supposed to ask. I mean, remember, the guiding principle of science is skepticism, where you're supposed to constantly be asking questions, constantly challenge your assumptions. And, you know, in the last few years, we saw the exact opposite of that, where, as you mentioned, everyday Americans, the media, members of the media who are a little more honest or skeptical than others were outright censored or you know, scrutinized for just asking simple questions that everyday Americans should be asking. And so what we saw here with this decision today to remove the COVID vaccine recommendation for healthy children and healthy pregnant women shows that once again, you know, we're not letting ideological activism or corporate interests guide our health policy making, but the gold standard of science. And the science says that, you know, healthy children and healthy pregnant women, you know, don't need to continue taking these COVID booster shots. And so I think this is a positive move for the American people. I think everyday people should look at this and think, OK, once again, we have sanity and common sense making decisions here in Washington, D.C.
Kush Desai speaking with us right now, the Deputy White House Press Secretary. We're grateful to have the White House's perspective here on the show today. I think a lot of people, I see this a lot in the commentary, the live commentary coming along with our conversation right here, right now, suggesting that these COVID-19 shots don't need to be taken by healthy children, don't need to be taken by pregnant women. That kind of suggests that maybe there's a higher risk implicated for those particular groups to take it. A lot of people want to know the drive behind the implementation, the force feeding of this shot over the last 5 years. Is the Trump administration actively looking into and looking to expose any sort of improper relationships that might have existed in forcing this vaccine on the American people?
Absolutely. I mean, I think when you look at some of the recent actions that have been taken across the FDA and the CDC with huge degree of scrutiny on possible conflicts of interest with a lot of these advisory boards that the FDA and CDC had, that brought in a lot of undue corporate and industry influence in our policymaking. And so, again, you know, the focus here is on using the gold standard of science. What does the science say? What does the evidence, what does the research actually say make sense? What works, what doesn't work based on the actual evidence? Not based on, again, not based on what ideological activism says, not based on what the politics say, you know, what actually works and what doesn't work. And so that's the guiding principle of everything that's happening at HHS, across the FDA, across the CDC, across the NIH. And I think, you know, Americans are going to continue to see a level of transparency that we haven't seen really in years out of the federal government, certainly not as it relates to you know, public health.
It's so important to observe and to acknowledge that we haven't been pursuing health recommendations for the American people just based on science. And that when we were force-fed, you know, the phrase, you know, we kind of laugh about it from time to time on this show. Anytime they say the science, you know, you're in trouble. We just need science. We just need factual pursuit, questions that need to be asked so that honest answers can be provided. And I think the American people are very skeptical about a lot of what has taken place in the last 5 years. And seeing Secretary Kennedy come in and lead on the MAHA movement has been refreshing for people. There are also a lot of discussions around what's in our food, chemicals that are used. And also, I think a lot of people are wanting to know more. Okay, chemicals in our food are bad and they exist everywhere. Dyes exist everywhere here in America and a lot of times don't in Europe. I think people are wanting more direct connection or evidence of direct connection of, okay, these chemicals exist. How are they manifesting themselves in our lives, in our health? Is the health HHS going to work on making all of that information more accessible to the American people?
Absolutely. I think that the the chemical in the food supply is definitely a huge priority for HHS. And we've already seen how the FDA phased out the use of several artificial petroleum-based food dyes in our nation's food supply. And that's particularly for, you know, that's particularly relevant for children, because a lot of our children's food, you know, these cereals and other processed foods, often have a lot of these artificial food dyes that are being phased out now. And to kind of follow up on that, the FDA also approved the use of new natural dyes that are healthier, that are, you know, less risky. So I think across the board here, we're taking, you know, we're opening up the hood of the car and we're taking a look at, you know, what's happening here and what's not. I think another great example of this is what we're calling Operation Stork Speed. Everyday parents, when they have, you know, an infant baby and you're buying baby formula and you look at the ingredients on that label, most people have no idea what the heck half of these things are. And that's what you're feeding to your 4 or 5 month old baby. And so the FDA is taking a critical look at the baby formula ingredients. And that's the first time such a review has been done since 1998. Oof. Think about that. It's been almost 30 years since our government has taken a serious look at what we're feeding babies. I mean, so this is the sort of thing where across the board here, we're taking a look. And you're talking a lot about the COVID shots, for instance. No, we're requiring, there to be proper clinical trials of a lot of these booster shots. You're not allowed to use the old clinical data you submitted for a completely different booster shot before. You have to submit new clinical data, conduct new experiments to make sure that, you know, what you're selling is actually, you know, safe and reliable for the American people. So across the board here, whether it be our food, whether it be our drugs or the vaccines, I mean, we are taking a strong look and looking to, I guess, make sure things actually work as they're supposed to and are safer for everyday people.
You know, I'm hearing you say that since 1998. Kush, I have 4 kids. My oldest is 15. My youngest is 3. I breastfed the first 3 of them. Couldn't manage the time for the 4th. So Molly, my youngest, was all formula based, but they all took formula in at some time. These things have, if you're inputting something into a child's body in their most, in their highest development years, I mean, the lifelong problems that could come from that, that maybe we just treat with some medication down the line. I think Americans are going to be very surprised to find some of the factual science-based information that comes from the studies that the Trump administration is looking to put out for the American consumption. Last question I have for you, and we appreciate you being with us. We're speaking with Kush Desai, Deputy White House Press Secretary. The implementations of replacing the food dyes, the bad food dyes, the restricting chemicals that can be put into our food, things like the baby formula. Realistically, how quickly does the Trump administration and Secretary Kennedy believe that we can actually take these new regulations, put them in place, and baby formula we feel is safe for our babies?
Look, I don't have a hard timeline here, but I think the intention here is to get this done as soon as possible. And the reason why it needs to be done ASAP is because a lot of these things should have been done years, if not decades ago. We're now at a point where, you know, for a lot of children, you know, around 70% of their caloric intake is coming from ultra processed foods. So there is the level of urgency here is at a fever pitch. And so I think we're working around the clock here to, again, focus the science, you know, direct the NIH and the CDC and the FDA to do the work necessary. And so I think we're working with the industry partners. I know, for instance, Operation Stork Speed, I mean, that announcement was preceded by Secretary Kennedy meeting with the CEOs of these baby formula companies to make sure that this is going to happen in a way that makes sense and that won't lead to, you know, another baby formula shortage, for instance. And so we're doing this in a way where we can, you know, where the American people won't be left out in the lurch and there won't be shortages or anything like that. So it's happening the fastest but most realistic and most efficient way possible.
Well, Kush Desai, thank you for your time today. We appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and commend the administration for keeping this focus and not setting aside. I know a lot of the people who supported the president in the election did so on the behalf of the MAHA movement. And it's been great to see actual action on that here well within the first 6 months of the new administration. Thanks for being with us today. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course. We'll talk to you again soon. Kush Desai, Deputy White House Press Secretary on X at Kush Desai 47. Good to talk to him there. I want to see all this stuff materialize. I hope for my, I just think about, as somebody, I was born in 1984, and I think my entire life has been processed foods. I don't know. I remember my grandmother cooking and how she would cook. The way she would cook, first of all, it was delicious. And second of all, there was just a wholesomeness to the way that they would cook using, I mean, you remember when grandma would use like lard or like real butter, and it was just kind of a special treat, because whatever we were eating in our house was probably something that was billed as healthier. It was probably billed as, you know, lower fat and all of this stuff, but it turns out it was lower fat. I guess they replaced the fat with chemicals to make it have less fat. And then at the end, it might be what has made us fat the whole time. Isn't that crazy? I always tell my kids, the closest you can get to eating foods from the way God made them and God intended them, that's the healthiest way to eat food. And then it turns out even the food that grows out of the ground might be treated with chemicals, and that might be hurting you too. It's like, how do you win? How do you win in this game? Or is the game set up to make sure that you lose? That's the part that's the scariest. All right, when we come back, Representative Eric Burleson, Missouri's 7th District Congressional Representative, is going to come join us. I'm asking you on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, on our live broadcast, our live chat poll, how do you grade the House Republicans? A, B slash C, D or F? Give them a grade. And I'm going to ask the congressman when he's on with us next, what grade does he give the House GOP, of which he is a member? We'll find out when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
And when do you expect these subpoenas to go out?
Well, the letters have already gone out to the staffers as well as Dr. O'Connor. So if we don't hear anything from them in a week, then I would expect to start seeing subpoenas.
And if they fight the subpoena, what do you do?
We'll go to court. Jesse, they're going to try to plead executive privilege, and they're lawyering up, and we're ready. That's why we're making sure every I's dotted and every T's crossed. The best thing that's happened in the last week with respect to this is all the new books that are coming out and all the former Biden staffers who are trying to cover their tracks. You're going to see people like Pete Buttigieg, who think they have political futures, come forward and say, you know, we didn't know anything. There were gatekeepers. They wouldn't let us speak with Joe Biden. And the more that comes out, the easier it's going to be to get to the truth.
So, okay, we're looking into the auto pen question. A lot of people have a lot of questions about it, and the House Oversight Committee is going to look into it. You were listening to the Oversight Chair, Representative James Comer there. Let's talk to another member of the Oversight Committee. Missouri's 7th Congressional District Representative Eric Burleson is on with us. Congressman, thank you for being with us here today. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Great to be back, Annie.
So I'm just going to let you have the open floor to react to the efforts of the Oversight Committee here. What are they looking to uncover?
Yeah, I think that the more that we learn about this, and especially now you've got lefty, reporters writing books about all this cover up. I think this may be one of the greatest scandals, at least of our generation, if not more. I mean,
wow.
You have what's evidently a sitting president of the United States that was obviously not making the decisions. There, from what I can tell, is a group of five people that were kind of the gatekeepers. And, what's really impactful, what I think we need to get down to the bottom of is how did these individuals determine who got pardons, for example, at the end?
Yeah.
There are people that are kind of leaking that there was money being paid, payouts to these individuals who just happened to have the decision making as who got a pardon, because Joe Biden didn't know. He clearly wasn't paying attention to what was going on.
That's a lot to take in, Representative Eric Burleson with us. I think it's the focus that I have on this, it doesn't seem like it's as much, or at least not exclusively or only, an investigation into Joe Biden. It's a lot more of an investigation into what was going on around Joe Biden. Who knew what? When did they know it? And how were they involved in it? I mean, are you looking specifically into Joe Biden and his particular actions, or does this involve a lot of people?
Yeah, I think that we need to determine the people that are in his nexus and to see if they violated any federal laws. And at the end of the day, I think the American people deserve to know who was making these decisions, who was signing these executive orders, or determining what the executive order was. You look at his administration, it seemed like absolute chaos. And it almost seemed like there were times where you thought, does Joe Biden even really care about this country? With what he was doing to the border, with what was happening with foreign policies, with Ukraine and all these other countries going to war. It was very, very confusing. And to some extent, I think that, his family, and I think we were able to demonstrate that his family was on the take. I mean, he was making major policy decisions, especially as a vice president, based on who was doing business with his son and with his brother. So now that he's no longer the president, and now that there's people that were adjacent to him that don't have any benefit of continuing to defend him, I think that you're going to see a lot of people come forward and admit wrongdoing of that administration.
We're speaking with Congressman Eric Burleson, who is a member of the House Oversight Committee, the Freedom Caucus as well, and the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. I have so many questions to ask you, so I'm trying to pare them down for the best options here. We ask this question of our audience. We do a poll every day. And, it's kind of a broad statement, and your initial reaction might not be the same as thinking about it a little bit. But I'm wondering if it's possible in your investigation into what took place during the Biden administration, if there was ever a time where Joe Biden became a victim, if people took advantage of him, if he was not cognizant of what was going on around him because of his mental state. Is it possible that he became kind of a victim of the system that he was born out of?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, yeah. And you see this happen with families. Unfortunately, there are families that take advantage of their elderly family members and the money that's coming in from Social Security and other avenues, and they control the purse and they control the decisions. I think that as we look into this, we'll determine to what extent Joe Biden was aware. I don't think he was very aware, but we'll determine that and see to what extent did people take advantage of him and thusly took advantage of the United States.
Congressman Eric Burleson speaking with us right now. You talked about people coming to testify and to open up and to kind of spill the beans on what was actually taking place. Do you expect whistleblowers to come out, some people who might have been very personally connected with what was actually taking place and wanting to put themselves in a position where maybe they are offered some protections?
Yeah, I do think that you're going to have people that were part of that inner circle that are going to be looking for cover. They're going to be looking for ways to get out from underneath the heavy hand that's coming down on them. And I would expect that we're going to get, if I know Jamie Comer, I'll say this. If I know Jamie, he's probably already got a whistleblower or two waiting in the wings. Cause that's how, the chairman operates. He collects a lot of information, a lot of data, and he doesn't go public until he's got enough to work with. And so I think that when Chairman Comer is talking, there's generally some evidence that goes with it.
I'm looking up right now. Is he a lawyer by trade?
He's not.
That sounds like a lawyer thing to do.
He's a farmer. I think his family is involved in banking and small business in Kentucky. But I think he has large scale properties.
Well, so you're expecting Comer to have this handled, to know what he's got before the American public knows what he's got. That's probably absolutely the right way to go about it. We're watching and we're waiting to find out what truths actually do come out from this. But it sounds like, from what I've talked with you, what I've talked with some other guests that we've had on the show, that the capacity of Joe Biden while he was the president was alarmingly diminished. But there were also questions about his health when he was running to be the president of the United States.
Yes.
This wouldn't it didn't dawn on people in 2021 or 2022 like, oh my gosh, this is getting bad, that people would have known. Do you believe, Congressman, that there was a cover up during the campaign and an understanding that upon Joe Biden's election, that this would be a presidency by committee?
Yeah, I think that they were clearly protecting him from the moment that he was the candidate, that he was the nominee. You know, and I think COVID gave him the excuse of hiding in the bunker. We probably would have had some of those debate moments had he come out and been more public. So I think that they definitely were hiding it from the American people. They were trying to protect him. And I think that there's some that may have not known the full extent of his decline and just kind of said, you know, yeah, sure, he's slowing down. But I think the left were so hell-bent to stop Donald Trump that they were willing to, you know, put someone who's having cognitive problems in the White House, which is very disturbing. But, you know, I remember there was times when the speaker, both McCarthy and Johnson had come back from meetings with the White House and spoken to the president. And for example, Johnson tells a story, and he's told it publicly, that he went to go meet with the president. He asked him specifically about an executive order, and Joe Biden said, I didn't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. He said, Mr. President, you signed it last week. You signed this executive order. And Joe Biden adamantly denied that he did. He didn't know anything about what the speaker was talking about. So, you know, hearing those firsthand reports, especially now that we know more and more, it seems like he was being taken advantage of.
Congressman Burleson,
I will say this, Annie, if I can.
Sure.
I've seen enough about the Biden family that I don't, you know, I hate for anybody to go through physically what he's going through. But the truth is, there's a lot of people in the federal medical prison down the road that have done less and have been less fraudsters and schemed, you know, against more people, less people than the Bidens have.
Right.
And so the truth is, yes, it's awful what he's going through, but the truth is he he's never going to serve time, but he probably should have served time in jail for everything that he did and the money that he laundered from all these foreign countries to his family.
Well, Congressman, I'd like to have you back on as this investigation progresses, because I have a million more questions that I want to ask you about it. And as it develops, we want to get you back here to update the people of Missouri and, of course, our friends here in Illinois about what your experience is on the House Oversight Committee. But before I let you go, I do want to ask you about the big, beautiful bill that my understanding is it got your vote last week, passed by one vote to move out of the House of Representatives. We're asking in our poll today of our audience, how do you grade the House Republicans? And with that bill passing, Donald Trump wanted it to pass. I know that you've advocated as a Freedom Caucus member, certainly for cuts to actually be fiscally responsible here. How do you grade the House Republicans?
I would give us a C minus, if not a D plus. If you'd asked me before that, I'd say maybe an F or a D. I think that the truth is, while the bill the best way I can explain the bill is that we're 37 points down in a baseball game and we just bunted to get on first and we're applauding it. So the truth is we have a long ways to go. But you could put yourself in my shoes. If that's the only thing that you can take, you'll take it at this time, but it doesn't mean that we don't continue the fight. And I think your audience, and you know that I will continue to have my head down and to try to get more and more spending cuts in place to save this country.
Yeah, people know that about you. You've made that very clear. We talked about sad Elon Musk. He seems to be kind of down in the dumps. Like, this is the best we can do, that we're not going to be able to cut our way out of this fiscal irresponsibility. Decades and decades of fiscal irresponsibility is now all put upon your congressional class right now. Is there Is there an expectation that in future years here, at least while Donald Trump is still the president, hopefully the Republicans maintain the majority, will they go deeper in those cuts?
Yeah, I think that there's a chance, especially even this year, there's a chance that we can get some rescissions done. There's a window of opportunity where they can do rescissions within the 45 days and Congress doesn't have the opportunity to act and they become permanent. So, and I, from what some of the discussions that we had during this continuing resolution vote, that was the contingency upon getting a lot of conservatives to vote for it, was a commitment to a certain level of rescission cuts in that 45 day window. So I think that we have that in play. But I also think that, look, this bond market, the reality is reality. It's almost like a law of gravity. You can't, at some point, your debt, the cost of debt becomes so high that you can't take on any more debt. And I think that's what it's going to take to force, unfortunately, to force some of my colleagues to understand that we have to cut spending.
Do you believe that President Trump's efforts to grow the economy, with his investments in the country, of course, the tariff implementation, he's making a lot of promises. He has a lot of anticipation for it. Could the growth of the American economy help with the lack of cuts, or do you not see that meeting in the middle?
Yeah, at some point, you can't cut your way there. You're going to have to grow, but you also have to cut. So cutting spending, for example, will cause a lot of growth in the United States. Because every dime that we take out in debt, we're going and we're competing against people that are trying to get a mortgage or businesses that are trying to get a loan. We're the ones buying all the debt. And as a result, the interest rates, even though the Fed might be lowering interest rates, the rates are not going down because we're out there buying and artificially increasing the demand. So we have to cut spending. But I do think when we do, we may not have to cut it all the way in order to balance. I think cutting a significant level of spending will do many things. It will reduce interest rates and it will bring inflation down, because when the federal government stops spending and interest rates go down, inflation will go down.
Do you believe in Trump's vision?
I do. I think that he wants to grow our way out of this. And I think that his vision of cutting income taxes, moving to a tariff, is an interesting and new concept, and one that I think in theory could pan out to be much better than the current status quo, where we have high income taxes and we're basically punishing productivity and instead of punishing consumption. So mm-hmm. I think as somebody who is a fair taxer, I kind of like Trump's policies in that regard.
Congressman Eric Burleson, we're very grateful for your time, and you know it's very valuable. Thank you for joining us to discuss these important issues, and please come back again soon to give us updates, especially on that House Oversight Committee investigation into what really was going on during the Biden presidency. We're grateful for your time today.
Thank you, Annie. Anytime.
Sounds good. We'll call you on that. Congressman Eric Burleson, representing Missouri's 7th Congressional District, he gives the House GOP, of which he is a member, he said a C-, maybe a D, before this would have been an F. So no delusions of grandeur there from Congressman Burleson. We'll like to compare his notes to yours on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. So join us. You go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry, or just open the YouTube app on your phone. You find our live broadcast right there in the comments section. That's where the YouTube live chat poll is. And you can grade the House Republicans. Might feel really good to click that F. Might feel really good to click that A, or something in between. It's up to you. But if you want your voice heard, go vote there right now. Let's get Ryan Wiggins back in studio. When we come back, don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's hard to interrupt this baseline.
Then don't.
Steve's back from vacation.
Oh.
Our boss is here.
We should talk.
We got to talk.
Let's talk about the bass line.
It's a good song.
Oh, gosh.
Can we just get the instrumental and play it underneath the segment the whole time?
Who's who's the woman who sang the Barbie song? Not Aqua. No. The big song, for the one that, God dang it, I'm dumb. I can't think of words today. If you're experiencing brain fog, go to infinite-vitality.com. That one's on me.
Which song from the Barbie movie are you referring to?
The one that the hot guy dances to.
Oh, gosh, I don't remember.
You said
the hot guy, and he knew exactly what part you were talking about.
I do know which part you're talking about, but I don't remember the song.
The guy from The Notebook?
Yeah, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
The hot guy.
You knew.
It's Ken.
Yeah, that's right.
He plays Ken.
So anyway, that female artist, I think, sings that Think I'm in Love with You song live. And I was just telling the guys here off air that when I listen to Sirius, they have a Chris Stapleton channel, and I am in a relationship with that channel with my husband. It's fantastic. There's a Chris Stapleton channel, there's a John Mayer channel, and there's a Morgan Wallen channel. All things set aside.
It's not I'm Just Ken, is it? That was the original song.
I'm Just Ken. No.
That one won an Oscar, I think.
I have the song on the tip of my brain, but because I have to talk on the air, I can't go there for a second and figure it out.
I understand.
There are people who are listening who know what we're talking
about. Ethan said Dua Lipa?
Yes! I don't know, except for I don't think that's right.
But what's the name? Yeah, that's it. That's
no,
not it,
Dua
though.
Lipa is the one who sings that song. And, okay, Vicky says Dua Lipa sings that song live with him. So yes, that is correct. I love her voice. I love all of her songs. I don't know anything else about her. Obviously.
I don't even know enough to tell you whether I like Dua Lipa or not. I know the name. That's it.
Did you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah, it was great.
What'd you do?
I forgot. We were talking about Memorial Day traditions on Friday.
You forgot you had a tradition?
I forgot that I had a tradition that we do every year for the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm like, oh, yeah, why didn't I say that? We go watch the Collinsville fireworks that they do every year now.
Where?
On Memorial Day in like Eastport Plaza near Ravenelli's and all the hotels down there, Drury Inn.
Why is it called Port?
I have no idea. It's landlocked.
Well, I mean, it could be an airport.
It's not that, though,
but
either.
It isn't. There's a lot of businesses down there.
There are a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of travel goes through there. But they do an awesome fireworks display every year, and we, as a family, all go watch it. Sometimes we go to they have like a festival down there, too. It's always on the day before Memorial Day, so the Sunday. But we did that again, and it was great. It was just a little rainy and cold this year, but the weather could have been worse.
Dance the night away.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows that song.
Yeah, I just had to Google it while you're talking.
Okay. You just wanted to get me talking.
I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that they had that fireworks in Collinsville. Is it a good show?
It's a fantastic show.
Fireworks are great.
And I think they're smart for doing it because everybody does July 4th. Well, then the cost for a city to do a July 4th presentation is super high.
Yeah.
Because that's when everybody does them. So they chose to do a Memorial Day instead.
Anything else? Is it on Memorial Day or is it the weekend?
It's the night before, which I was saying while you were Googling. Mm-hmm. So that's okay. But the other thing is that...
It's for the other people who are busy during that
time. Yeah, they didn't hear it. You were just clarifying.
It's for the people. I'm here for the people.
Now, this is something that we have done in the past. We didn't do it this year.
Where was it,
because,
in Collinsville?
it's like, how do I describe Eastport Plaza? But my kids have helped. We have a neighbor who's in our church, too, who goes around the Friday before Memorial Day or the Saturday, depending on the year, and puts American flags throughout the entire neighborhood along the street.
That's fun.
And it's a pretty big area. They walk the whole neighborhood and do it every year, and I'm sure today they're out there taking them down. My kids in the past have helped do that. This year, I think because we were still school and stuff, we weren't able to do it. But
Brad,
what did
you guys
tradition.
Do?
Actually, we did a bunch of stuff that was like getting stuff done, and I have never felt more accomplished over the course of a long weekend. I was super excited about it. So I worked on my truck.
Was it big stuff? Did you have a lot of little? Did you have something big?
Both. There was big stuff that I've been trying to do for a while, and then there was a bunch of little stuff that I was trying to get done. And so we were able to get a lot of that done, from working on trucks and tractors down to cutting the grass and changing up, like, you know, the garage and all that other stuff. So got a lot of stuff done. Then we went to church on Sunday morning.
You know what I did? I sorted clothes. Guys, what? How do you... To the people who have gone before me with multiple children, how did you do it without losing your mind? Like, I feel like my nightmares would be me just drowning in laundry. That sounds so super boring and off. Like, what? Why are we talking about this? I have four kids. My oldest son, he's in man clothes now. He's like a men's medium large. But he will still wear his favorite shirts from when he was like eight. I'm like, you have to let that go. Let's make it a quilt. And he's like, he always says, I'll just wear it at home.
It's a belly shirt.
And I'm like, I don't want to see it. It doesn't fit you, son. But I like it. It'll be like his baseball uniform from when he was 10. And he's sentimental about it. So I kind of understand it. But I'm also like, you look like you're in pain. You need to just move on from that. We don't have to get rid of it, but it should go somewhere else. And you can't put it in the rotation. But the amount of laundry in my house, I'm to the point right now where I just went through my closet yesterday. And I just started out, if it's something that I've ever looked at and gone, I just took it out. Less is more. But I don't know how to do that with three girls who are all in different size clothing. And between all three girls, very little can come out of one closet and go into the next. It has to go in a tote. Every time we sort clothes, we buy six more totes. Where are all the totes going? Does anybody understand what I'm saying? I don't know. Do you deal with this?
Not as bad as you, because you got three girls of staggered ages. So you got to keep everything.
Does Katie deal with that stuff more than you do?
Yeah, and she does it more than I do. But
is she happy
have two,
about it?
Two boys, but they go right from one boy to the next. They don't go into a tote.
No,
and anything from Sunny, that's just gone.
By the time I get done sorting, it's time to sort again. It's the worst. And we had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend acknowledging those who sacrificed all. All right, Belichick and Macron, what do they have in common? We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.